It's time for Windows Weekly. Yes, our first show of the brand new year. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here with their predictions for what 2018 will bring to Microsoft. Also, some update on that massive Intel flaw. How bad is it? It's all coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 551, recorded Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. Glow Walnut Nasal. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life. That's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at rocketmortgage.com/windows. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft. We're back, baby, 2018. Happy New Year! Mary Jo Foley.
Jeez.
I'm sorry, I mean, it's scary.
You know, I'm coming off of about a food poisoning. If we could just kind of roll it back.
Oh, are you a little queasy? Did you have oysters for New Year's?
I believe it was caused by some corned beef hash at a questionable diner. But
isn't it funny when you get sick like that, that you... It probably wasn't the thing you thought did it,
but from then on,
you can never touch that thing you thought it was.
By the way, again. Exactly. So on New Year's Eve, we do our fondue thing, and then this happened New Year's Day.
Oh, fun.
But a friend and I both got sick, and we both had the corned beef hash.
Oh, so mm-hmm.
No one got sick from the night before, but now, of course, my wife wants to make leftovers. I'm like, I'm not touching that. I can't be sure.
And it could have just been a norovirus. It doesn't have to be food poisoning.
If I could somehow tie this back to one of my kids, that would be perfect.
It's their fault. It's all their fault. Your son brought it home from school.
Exactly.
Those college kids, you know them.
Blame the dog, I say.
Yeah, it could be the dog.
That's Paul Thurrott.
It could be.
Thurrott.com.
Oh, ow. Oh,
what?
Ow. Sorry, my cat's biting me.
That's Mary Jo Foley.
Not just biting you, but apparently typing into the notes.
Ow.
Ooh, yeah, sorry, I was trying to get his leg off the notes, and suddenly
Your cat has managed to write more characters into the notes than I did.
He did. Sorry, I'll fix it.
That's pretty funny. So he's sitting on your keyboard and biting you at the same time.
Yeah.
See, this year it's getting off to a good start.
And, of course, you're all excited because you're both skying to Vegas for a fabulous CES next week.
I am not, and I'm happy about it.
Yeah. Are you, Paul?
I am not happy about it.
Oh. But wait, Microsoft's hasn't been at CES in years.
Unofficially, they've actually been at CES every year.
Okay.
I will be talking to them at the show in some capacity, but no, right. I mean, they don't have major... announcements to make. They don't have a booth, you know, that kind of thing. But I keep threatening to do this thing that I'm not going to do this year. Not quite. But what I actually think there's a valuable CES experience to be had by just going and meeting with certain companies. Like all the PC makers are there. I could talk to Dell and HP and Lenovo and a few others. Acer is there. All the PC makers. And then they have these side events like Showstoppers and Pepcom and so forth. Mm-hmm. And those are really worth going to.
Yeah.
Then if you could just skip the thing we call CES, just not go to the show, like that would actually not be a horrible trip.
Yeah,
I'm going to get close
be
to this year. But we have to, we're going to walk around like idiots because.
Because you are.
Why not?
Because we are idiots, yes.
Yes, why not? Come on, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy ourselves. there'll be new PCs, right? I mean, that's usually the one thing you really want to see there.
That I can guarantee.
Lenovo's supposed to have the ARM thing, right? The new ARM PC.
PC, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And I expect other ARM-based PCs too. I'd be surprised if Lenovo was the only one, but we do know that that's happening. You can expect announcements from all the PC makers. I mean, I think most of it is still under wraps, but... Those companies I just named, you know, Dell, HP, Lenovo, too, we'll all have, I think, major announcements because this is what happens every spring.
Yeah. They'll probably be connected car, right? That Microsoft does connected car stuff there typically where they, they do some services connected to somebody's car. They don't put Windows in cars anymore, but they connect Azure on the back end.
Yeah, cars already have enough Windows, Mary Jo.
They do.
We don't need any more of that.
Agree.
We might see, too, I saw there was a leak in a, on a, I think it was a Japanese website of the first Intel processor with the Radeon built in.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we might see that, maybe. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think of course, it's going to be notable for PC fans, you know.
Yeah, and Intel will throw a little party because they have to slow all the processors down by 30%. That should be fun. They should be in a good mood.
I always think of Intel when I think of tech stocks because my dad back in the 1990s tried to invest in tech stocks, but he couldn't handle it because it was Intel. Like every time Intel's competitors announced anything,
right.
Intel stock would nosedive, and then Intel would announce something, and their tech, you know, the stock would go skyrocketing. And he couldn't stand that kind of volatility. And that's what's happening this week. You know, this this issue may or may not be the major, you know, apocalypse that some people believe it is, but it is triggering this stupidity with the stock market because, you know, that's what.
Well, it's funny because we talked about it on Security Now, and you know, I listened to it, and Steve didn't; his hair wasn't on fire, so I thought, oh, well, it's. They can't, you know, okay.
Well, we don't have enough information yet, right?
It's an exploit that's not been documented because nobody wants anybody to know about it, which is reasonable.
So let's just jump ahead to one thing because we did have this in notes, but I think it's important for people to understand that on the client side, the impact is probably going to be minimal, and Microsoft's already fixed it. So if you're an insider, you have the fix already. It's in the latest builds. Oh, if you're on the normal versions of Windows 10, you will get it on Patch Tuesday. So I think the big question with this thing is going to be how it impacts data centers, servers, and the cloud. And it's supposed to be worse there. But I feel like the story is changing every day. So,
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, the register is the one that kind of scared everybody because they said that the patch, which will happen to all machines running Intel processors, that's Linux, FreeBSD, Apple, and Windows and anything else, all Intel processors will see a slowdown because of the new way they have to handle protected memory of 5 to 30%, which would be pretty awful.
but I don't know if that's true. It's actually not that high. Yeah.
So. That may have been.
You know, that story is so strange in a lot of ways. There's no sourcing on that story, for one.
Right.
If you look at it.
Right.
I mean, there's no one saying it, but somebody told them this, obviously. But who?
I wonder who might that have been?
Yeah.
You know, somebody's stock went up today, I noticed.
Somebody at AMD?
Although, I mean, AMD is partnering with Intel on that new chipset.
Right. Right.
Well, that was the other thing that I noticed in the register story. It said newer Intel chips won't be nearly as impacted.
Yep.
Especially
you also got to kind of look at Qualcomm, right? Intel chips were 30% slower, that means they would only be 5 times as fast as Qualcomm chips. So you running
ouch.
With
this. Ouch.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that this is a real thing that is about to happen, but it whenever a story is sourced like this, when you're a journalist, you think like this, right?
Yeah.
Who did it?
It's like something you say on the eve of like a marriage or something. Like, I'm not doubting that this is going to happen. I'm just saying I have some qualms about
not
it.
Doubting.
Right. Look at this line. It is understood that the bug is present in modern Intel processors. Why do you say it in that stilted way? Because somebody told you and you can't quote them.
Right. Well, good. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like there is wiggle room to say that in a better way.
Yeah. We'll find out soon, like you said. I mean, I'm really curious what it's going to happen on the data center server side, because we already know Microsoft next week has posted a blog saying that there's going to be a maintenance event with Azure where they're going to shut down all the VMs.
What? A maintenance event.
So that's, by the way, that's because
you know,
they
when the asteroid hit the Earth and killed all of the dinosaurs, also a maintenance event.
But they, you know, Microsoft, I call them today. I'm like, so that's the thing, right? And they're like, no, we're not saying that. We have nothing to share.
Yeah. Well, everybody, that's one
cause for concern is how tight-lipped everybody is.
Yeah.
Sure. Register might have gotten it from the Linux kernel mailing list because they did mention that the Linux kernel is being patched in public, even though there's very little documentation for what they're doing.
You can't extrapolate what happens to Linux to other operating systems. You know, that's the other thing.
Right.
It would be interesting if this thing impacted Linux between 5 and 30% and it impacted Windows 0.3%. You know, and that might give you some insight into the relative, you know, performance of either system or whatever at certain tasks. I mean, we'll see.
We'll see.
I would just say.
Don't
freak out about it.
No hair on fire yet.
Yeah. Not yet.
What I enjoy about this is, you know, because, you know, Twitter especially, but I think our entire tech world now is like this knee-jerk reaction to everything. There are guys on Twitter today who are like, this is why I only buy AMD.
Well, that's
really? You're Nostradamus. You looked ahead into the future and saw that this was going to happen. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we'll know more. And, you know, so it's funny because I heard, I mean, we were talking about it yesterday, but I didn't, until I read the register, I didn't realize it was the end of the world. So actually, it's not the end of the world. That's going to be handled by North Korea and the president. And so
That's another.
Let the experts handle that.
That's another button.
We'll be busy violating your privacy until it happens. And
let's move on. How about predictions? Since we did last year, we ended with two great shows. Actually, three great shows. The best of. Before that, Chris Cappicella. And before that, your undercovered stories, Mary Jo's undercovered stories, and your big stories, Paul, of 2017. So let's talk about what this new year will herald.
Yeah, what are we expecting from Microsoft? We didn't really do this in any kind of order, unfortunately.
No.
What would you say is the big one for you, looking at this list?
So the one I would say that I want to get on record about, because I get asked about it every day almost, is about when is the Andromeda device going to show up that we keep seeing all these patents for? You know, this is the thing that looks like the courier, we think. Surface phone / tablet, whatever that thing is.
Yep. So you're here to confirm Surface phone? Everybody, hold on. Here it comes.
Hold on. Headlines. Whatever that thing is. What I hear is we won't hear or see anything about it until at the earliest Redstone 5, which means end of this year or after that. So a lot of people, I've seen people speculating like Microsoft's going to show this off at CES or Mobile World Congress. No, they are not. They're going to be really careful how they do this because of the debacle that was Windows Phone and is Windows Phone. So for me, you know, especially if I look at the Windows and Devices group, that is the one I would put first and just say, don't get overly excited. I think this thing is real, but I think it's further away than many people think. That would be mine.
I don't have any opinions on that. And part of the reason is I don't feel that the Surface release schedule is predictable anymore. You know, this year was very strange because we waited a long time for them to update devices that I think we would all agree might have been updated sooner than they were. And now they're on kind of a different schedule than they were before. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I
think they're more and more tied to, as they've claimed, what they're doing with the operating system, right? So you have to look for the clues in the OS about what devices might come, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, a year ago when Chris Kapp was on the show, not this past year, but the year before, I think it was that show, he talked about the release schedule and how they always wanted it to be in the spring, and that made more sense. And he said, you know, there's a reason Samsung always introduces their big devices in the spring and everything. And of course we all got excited and waited and they didn't announce anything until I think it was May and then June. I guess that's technically spring, but so I don't know. And Andromeda, I don't know.
Are you a believer yet? Do you finally believe this thing is real?
No, I'm not. In fact, you know, in keeping with my earlier comments about Twitter, the one thing I don't know if this is ever worth like writing about, but I don't consider myself a fanboy in the sense that I don't dress up in like a cheerleader costume every morning and go rah, 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 Windows, you know, rah, rah, rah,
Wait,
Microsoft,
you don't?
Whatever. I know. What? It's crazy. What? I mean, I sort of see myself as being more of an advocate for users of this stuff than of the company that makes it. And I'm confused by people's kind of behavior or attitudes around this stuff. And you can't have a rational conversation with anyone about Andromeda because they see their own kind of hopes and dreams in this device. And I find it to be odd. You know, like someone will say something like, I don't think this device makes any sense unless it, you know, is like a mini tablet that folds over and you can make phone calls on it and stuff like that. It's like, what? Why on earth would you think that made any sense? You know, like what about that makes sense? And I think the thing that makes it make sense to people who are enthusiasts or whatever is that it's a Microsoft device. It's them getting back into mobile. This is something they feel that should happen for some reason that no one can fully articulate. And I look at this kind of thing and I think, well, what? Where does it make sense? Like, what's the thing case. It's solving? Yeah, what does it solve?
I think it what they're hoping it solves is trying to get more people to use the pen. Number one, because I think in that form factor, well, I really do. I think that's one of their
goals. Microsoft hopes it solves, right?
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I mean, if you think about just Microsoft and their attitude about the pen, this is the company that has also removed the pen from every one of their devices, right? You have to buy it separately now. So there's hopes, and then there's kind of like the market reality. Like, why would an individual hope that this thing does something? Like, what is there some missing device in our lives? I mean, even when Steve Jobs announced the original iPad, remember he said we always wondered, would there be a device between the phone and the computer? Could there be a thing that sits in the middle? And maybe there can be. But the question I asked at that time, and I'll ask it again today because it's just as relevant, is why? Like, in other words, you're not chasing a customer need. You're chasing your need as a company. Like, let's sell another thing.
I think they're trying to create a customer need, right? I mean, that to me is like what a lot of their devices are about. It's not like customers are asking for something. They're trying to get them excited to do something or use something, right? Like 3D paint?
Yes.
3D paint?
So I would say when it comes to device creation, Microsoft is one for whatever number, right? The Surface Pro has, they didn't even invent that form factor, but let's just say they formalized it. They've certainly jump-started this category. Mm-hmm. Google and Apple both have it essentially copied it, right? Okay, good. So that's a success in my mind. That makes a lot of sense. But again, you know, I can't see it because I'm not a visionary, I guess. But I mean, what does this thing solve? Like, what does it solve?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm open to being shown what it solves and I'm open to changing to use it if it makes sense for me to do so. I don't mean like I'm closed-minded about it, but I just.
Paul, you don't have a growth mindset.
Which,
did I just say those words? Yes, I did.
It's true. I don't. Yeah,
No, you know, look at Surface Studio, right? Would anybody have said, you know what I really want? I want a tabletop computer that has this cool hinge that I can use with a dial. Nobody would say that, right?
Right.
I know. No, but that's...
But I mean, I guess I would only counter that with saying, but no one has then gone out and bought one either. You know, like, I mean, they're so expensive that they are... kind of a niche of a niche, you know. I know that there are professionals who are artists or designers or architects or whatever who can take advantage of that and love that it exists, and it's probably changed their lives. I don't mean to diminish the awesomeness of
it. That's a good point though. But because I love it doesn't mean
it's not a, you know.
Yeah, I think you know, go back to the roots of Surface. They want to make aspirational devices, right? They want to create new categories that other people will copy. That's part of their mission statement. I think it's still part of their mission statement. And so maybe they do believe there is a foldable tablet that could become a new hot form factor that's kind of a hybrid between a phone and a tablet, you know? Who knows? Maybe it will just stay a niche product and not really become a big, you know, widely manufactured type product. But I think they're trying to find a way to get back into mobile where they know they've lost the consumer phone market, and they are very upfront about that. But they know they need something that is more of a mobile device than a laptop. That's what I think they're trying to do. They're trying to wedge themselves into this new spot. I know.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't mean to. Please don't take me wrong. Yeah. I don't mean I have the answer there wrong. I don't know the answer.
I know you do, but I think
some people might misunderstand.
I think it's great for a company, especially with a lot of resources. This doesn't have to be a billion-dollar business for Microsoft.
Right.
I think it's great for a company to innovate. It does something not just for the outside world, but for the people who work there. They feel like we're working at a company that's breaking.
Yeah.
This is what Apple had going for it. And, I think this is great for Microsoft.
I do agree, but I think the issue is, especially for Microsoft, you know, you can only throw so much against the wall that doesn't work before you're not looked at as innovative anymore. You're just looked at as failure. And, you know, Microsoft tried a bunch of things in the 2000s when they were still riding high in the PC market, all of which failed. Portable displays and media centers and portable media centers and they're in Zune. And, you know, they have, unfortunately, kind of a rich legacy of this stuff. In our world, we deal with the enthusiasts who buy into this and then are disappointed when it all goes away at the end.
But remember what Chris Kapp said in our interview with him 2 weeks ago. He said, you know, we don't want to become a company that feels like we can't take big risks and fail and move on, right?
By the way, absolutely. And when I go back to Windows Vista, the thing I said about that at the time, which I do worry about, Windows 8 would have been the same effect, which is I hate to see a defeat this bad because I think the impetus now is to not take chances anymore. You know, that we tried to go out and be all to everyone with Windows Vista. We tried to really seize the touch first thing with the Windows 8, failed in both cases. You know, the natural reaction to that would be to scale it back.
Yeah.
When in fact, you know, you should keep trying. Of course you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That said, I think Andromeda is a freaking nightmare. I can't believe they're doing this, but
I know because you know what's funny. I know you didn't believe it was going to happen. Like every time I brought up this idea, like you know they're going to do this, right? Like it's happening. You were like, oh right. And now that the patents are surfacing, it's like they are going to do this. We don't know exactly what it's going to look like.
It's been a while, but some months ago, it is a fact they're working on it. They were working on it. I should say I don't know today. Yeah. None of this means it comes to market. I mean, we have very good examples of things that got very close, like Surface Mini is now the great example. Yep. They Courier. Built these things, right? You know, Courier didn't go to market. So, you know, anything could happen and we'll see. Chris Capicella also, to keep bringing him up, we talked a bit about consumer and enterprise and how these things are intertwined. And I kind of like that on a theoretical level. But I also feel like they need to have some better successes with consumers, frankly, than they've had. And maybe that's something they should be working on. I don't know.
I'll tell you the one thing I'm super interested in seeing is the day Andromeda, the device gets announced, what happens to Microsoft's stock price, because I think it's going to drop.
I don't think
Wall Street wants, they don't want them to be a hardware maker.
No, and I think once you take the enthusiast out of the equation, what you got is a bunch of analysts who look at Microsoft and say, "No, your future's in the cloud. What are you doing?" This is a weird sidestep for them. But like Leo said, you know, it's a humongous company. I mean,
it is.
They have the resources to do multiple things. They can take chances on this kind of thing. I don't know. I just don't quite.
All will be revealed after Redstone 5.
Okay,
it's funny. I don't actually. I feel like this is a fairy tale, this Andromeda thing. But anyway,
do you?
Yeah, you know better than I.
I don't know that we do. I mean, it's been dragging along for so long.
It has. Yeah.
It feels like one. We've been talking about a Surface phone for what feels like 17 years.
I know. At least for 2 years, right? I mean, at least.
And it's funny because confirming it. I mean,
I've heard it's real.
I have too. Although I want to be clear about this.
That doesn't mean they're going to release it. That's just something.
Right.
Correct.
And this is as long as 4 or 6 months ago. I'd have to go look. It's not like last week. I mean, but as of months ago, this was an active thing. Like they're working on it. Yeah. It is the Surface group. It's the group under Terry Myerson and so forth. So I think Mary Jo's dead on correct about the notion of the software releases on the Windows 10 side and the hardware releases on the Surface side being interconnected. They've explicitly said that to us publicly. And I, I, I think, yes, that some release of Windows 10 will be partially geared at least toward this device. Like, that will be the point. And we will see hints of it in the software.
You know?
And I also think it's smart if you follow Windows and Microsoft, as these insider builds come out, and as other people like Raphael leak information about the builds, to pay attention to the kinds of things that are in there and ask yourself, does this make more sense on a desktop computer? Mm-hmm. Or is this kind of a thing you might see, you know, on a more mobile device, you know, and I think that will be kind of telling as well.
Yeah. You know, one thing, I think it was the walking cat found in a build was reference to a left screen, right screen in one of the recent builds. Right. So there are hints. Hints are starting to come up.
There are going to be people who are either at or are gone from Microsoft now who years down the road will claim credit for this. Like, you know, this is why we added Snap to Windows 8, so you could have two screens. You know, it's like, shut
right.
up. No, it isn't. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. Like she said, I hope that when we do this show a year from today or whatever, we're not talking about this still as something to come. Like, I hope that it happens this year just to get it out of the way, you know, one way or the other.
Okay, but what on the list, what was your kind of big one?
Of the other 27 items we're going to beat to death with.
We don't have to do them all. We can just take the big ones.
I'm going to tie two of them together because I think they're interrelated. And actually, by the way, they're interrelated with Andromeda as well, which is this notion of like unsustainable things in the Windows group, Windows 10S and Windows as a service, right? Mm-hmm. That we these are two examples of Microsoft being very aggressive about what it feels should happen, contrary, I think, to the best interests of its users. And in the case of Windows as a service, I have two big issues I think you'll agree with at least. Well, you probably agree with both of them. One is that Windows Home users have no way to extend the release schedule like Windows Pro users. I think as an individual, that should be a basic right, that you should not be treated as a guinea pig, as one of the PCs that will test market this thing in the real world. And then when it's made safe, the people who are deferring the upgrade will get it and know that it's okay. I think everyone should have that right. And that's.
But do you think, are you predicting they'll do that, or is that just a wish?
Oh, right. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Let me put it this way. What I'm predicting is Microsoft will do something about both of these things. I'm splitting this one out into consumer and business. I got to be honest. The consumer side, if I was betting money, no, I don't expect them to change this at all. They should change it. I don't think they will. The business side, I think they will. We've already seen them extend the support time frame for Windows 10 for businesses, for volume licensed businesses, because whatever the time period was, I think the original was 2 years, came up, and only a small percentage of Windows 10 users in enterprise had gone forward. So they had to artificially extend the timeline, you know, for, I don't know, what it was, like one more release or whatever. I think they need to formalize that again. I think that's one of those things. We thought this was a good schedule. Our business customers are telling us it isn't. I think we're going to see a change, a formal change to the policy this year. I think that's something they have to do.
I would have thought so too, until we asked Chris Capasola that, and he basically threw cold water on that idea.
Well,
change their minds, but.
The thing that sits contrary to what I just said is the last two major updates to Windows 10, the last two feature updates to Windows 10, Creators Update and the Fall Creators Update, have been successful, right? They rolled out quickly and without drama, and that's kind of what they're looking for, right? I do feel that they've bumped into each other a little bit, right? I think they're too close. I love your idea of R2 releases. I think that's smart. I think an R2 release schedule could accommodate the thing I'm talking about, right? Very nicely, because then you're essentially bumping out the schedule just half a year. You could say, look, you have to go to the net, you know, you can be two major releases behind. That's fine. And that gives you an additional 6 months, essentially. It's a nice compromise. Ultimately, what this comes down to is doing what your biggest and best customers want. And I don't think that's escapable. I think Microsoft will have to accommodate that. They already have, by the way, not in a formal sense, but by extending support for what it was, the anniversary update, probably. They've already done it, you know, so we can pretend this is a one-off release, so they can pretend it. But I think the reality is this is something they just need to do. Businesses just don't move this quick. They just don't want to. Not the big ones. Windows 10S is a little more complicated. Again, this is a great example of they're right. This is where it needs to go. It's not ready today. We're familiar with the Microsoft, Google, Chrome thing. I guess we could talk about that a little bit later. But there's your example of why this is wrong. And I remember you and I were at Build, and we were going through the show floor, and we kept bumping into people we knew. And I can't remember. I apologize who said this to me. But I asked one of the guys from Windows team, look, you guys, you know, you got to make a compromise here. You got to get Chrome in the store, blah, blah, blah. And somebody said to us, Terry will never do that, you know, that he's dead set on this thing being very strict. Yeah. And again, I just think this is a look, you want this thing to happen or you don't. And if you want it to happen, what you have to agree is that it cannot happen today. And how do we get from here to there? And I think the way we do that is by compromising. And I think Microsoft needs to give in on a couple of things, and also not be so paternal about Windows, you know, that it knows best. Give customer, you know, prompt them and prompt them and prompt them, but give them the opportunity to say, yeah, you know what? I just want to install the damn browser, or I just want to install the drivers for my printer. Is that okay with you guys? Could I just do that? Like, I'll take your stupid startups the rest of the experience, but just give me the drivers.
So your prediction is they're going to cave in on those things on Windows 10S?
No.
Correct. Because my prediction also is no way are they going to.
here's how Microsoft caves on that. They just keep extending the free upgrade. This is another example of, I think this is what they should do, but I'm realistic or I'm familiar enough with the company to believe that no, they won't do it. But
I don't think so either. But I like your idea. Maybe the extension of the free upgrade to Pro is how they throw users a bone and stay true to what they want for 10S.
In fact, I'll even take it a step further. There is the capability in Windows 10 Pro to flip a switch and only install store apps. How about if you give them the upgrade to Pro, but then that's when the prompts start? Like, okay, we're going to let you do it this time, but now we're going to give you the prompts. You can go turn off the prompts because it's Pro. But, you know, we're trying to guide you to this future. Like, I'm okay with it to a degree. I just think it's too much of a hard stop in Windows 10S.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Fair enough. I don't think I should steer you because you're jumping all over the place. So
I know. We kind of are.
You tell me where you want to go.
So another prediction, and this is kind of a no-brainer prediction based on, especially on what Chris Kapp told us during our show, was all hands on deck for Teams, right? Everything this year is going to be about Teams. They're going to really push Teams. And one of the big reasons they're going to push Teams is because they really want people to upgrade to Office 365 E5, right? Which is the most expensive Office 365 plan. And it's the one that you need if you want to use these advanced telephony capabilities that they're putting into Teams. So I think, you know, if you're going to say prediction, my prediction is you're going to hear incessantly about Teams this year. We're going to get some new numbers about how many people are using Teams. We're going to hear that all these new features they're rolling into Teams, and it's just going to be Teams, 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 Teams. I think that's the product we're going to hear the most about in calendar 2018 for Microsoft.
Oh, I completely agree. I think it's even a little more dramatic that in the sense that I think Teams is the poster child for Microsoft app development going forward.
Right.
One of the things those guys did very interestingly was they designed it with kind of the web mindset, and the next major version of the app will be a progressive web app. And I talked to those guys, remember, from Microsoft about PWAs, and they were saying that they had basically gone to all the parts of the company and said, look what they're doing over there. Let's go. This is how they need to be. And I think I think we had talked about this last year, this notion that Teams is by far the most successful new initiative or app or whatever you want to call it in the Office 365 space. I think since the beginning of Office 365. And it's just a huge deal. And I think its impact is going to go beyond even just how many people use it and how many customers adopt it.
You know what's funny? When they rolled out Teams, I remember thinking it was just like a knee-jerk reaction to Slack. And I was like, oh yeah, that's nice. They get this little thing over here called Teams, and that's cute, right? And then suddenly it was like the Teams thing was like the big thing.
Remember, it was, I think it was Bill Gates who had argued that we can do this in house and we don't need to do this and we don't need to buy Slack. I mean, what was the figure on Slack? 5 billion or 8 billion or whatever. And I was like, just buy the damn company. I mean, just to get it off the street, you know?
Yep.
And to me, that made sense. But when I look at what they've done with Teams, I could just put this in the last column because with everything else I've ever said, you know, because no, I mean, seriously, like this is one of those things that really made sense retroactively or whatever. Like when you look at what they did, you're like, yes. I mean, I, and it's nice to be able to say that about something Microsoft has done, frankly. So it's good. Good. It was well done.
Yep. Aren't you going to make your year of the Linux desktop predictions?
Yeah, yes.
I've been waiting for that one.
Too late. It's already happened. Happened
Windows
last year.
11 will be based on a Linux kernel. And
you know what I almost threw into the list? You know what I almost threw into the list? Because so many people are like kind of guessing about this. Do you think Microsoft will do a Linux distribution, right? Like their own? And at first, you kind of laugh and you're like, oh, no, you know, they get all those partnerships with Red Hat and this and that. But then
they already have, haven't they?
Kind of, right? What they're doing around Open Compute Project, they're doing a lot of things around Linux, right? And some people are like, well, it's basically their Linux. But you, okay, do you remember? But
let's clarify this because they'll never make like Linux for the desktop. This is Linux for the cloud. This is Linux.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a virtual server,
essentially. Yeah.
But do you remember, it was like 2 years ago, and Mark Rusinovich gave an interview to somebody, and he said, there's nothing stopping Microsoft from creating its own Linux. And at the time, I just was like, oh, come on, what? And now, you know, as all the things continue to happen with them doing more around open source, Linux partnerships, I'm like, gosh, wouldn't it be crazy if, like, 2017 was the year Microsoft came out with Microsoft Linux in some way, shape, or form, not like you said, not to compete with Red Hat, but
I mean, at this point, I'm so numb to this. It's like, what's the difference? They might as well, you know, they could call it Xenix. It would be hilarious.
Oh man. Xenix is back.
Yep. Xenix 2.0. One's a kind of an easy one, but just based on usage statistics, net applications, stat count, or however you choose to believe. I think that this will be the year that Windows 10 surpasses the usage of Windows 7 for the first time. And I think the interesting side note to this is that we know that there are 600 million active users, essentially active devices run Windows 10. We know the pace at which that number is changing. It varies from quarter to quarter, but roughly speaking. this July 1st to June 30th or whatever, I believe, is the end time frame for their original prediction, Microsoft's, that they would hit 1 billion active devices or users. So they'll probably be in the 700 million-ish, maybe, barring any massive enterprise upgrade cycle that we are now unaware of. but that should be enough to put them over the top as far as being the number one version of Windows, the number one, you know, the most frequently used version of Windows, which, you know, isn't too shabby. I mean, given the times, given the reliance, frankly, on Windows 7, especially in the enterprise, you know, it's pretty good. It's not a billion. I get it. But
yeah,
still should be pretty good.
No, it's good because, you know, end of support for Windows 7 is 2020, which is now just 2 years away. So it's good to see that they're, you know, gaining momentum and approaching that cutoff date, right?
Microsoft should turn off Aero Glass on like January 1st, 2019. It's kind of like when you flick the lights in a bar and you're like, look, you don't have to go home.
A warning. Yeah.
But yeah, you can't stay here.
Yeah, I saw you saying somewhere on Twitter the other day, you guys support people too long on older versions of software, Microsoft. You know, just get all those people off Windows 7 now. I
argued with about this topic.
I saw you doing that, and I'm like, hey, hold it, buddy. I'm still running Windows 7.
The UI in question, I have a NAS, and approximately 27 computers in my house. And on every single computer, except for the one that I use right now sitting here every day, I can go into File Explorer, type in the name of that NAS, and access its contents. I know it's crazy. On this one computer, for no reason, I have no idea why, I cannot. It gives me a little error dialogue, and so every from time to time, I try to fix this problem. I'm pretty good at this kind of thing. But when you go into, what's it called? It's just like the network node or whatever in File Explorer. It's like this ridiculous legacy UI from Windows Vista, literally.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this is the NAS does not show up as a computer, which it should, but it does show up as a media device, and it does show up as a storage device. And when I double-click both of those things, something happens. I just can't browse the network share. And I'm sorry, but this thing is both useless and broken. And that was my argument. Like, you guys are so busy adding like 3D and virtual reality. How about fixing the crap that hasn't worked in 10 years? You know, it's like, oh, as soon as we get rid of something, something's going to complain, you know. It's like, guys, if someone is complaining about UI from Windows Vista being removed, you can safely ignore those people. That's ludicrous. That was my point.
Okay. I did see that combo.
I just get on Twitter every once in a while to fight with people.
Yeah.
That's what
step
it's
away
for.
From the Twitter.
Yeah.
Ooh. The blue sky is blue. Not where I live, Mr. It's raining today. Jerk.
Hey, you know, when I was looking at this list, have the one I liked of your predictions and I hadn't even thought of was Windows 365 for individuals.
Yeah.
Say more about what you think.
Windows, well, I mean, you mentioned Office 365 and the higher end tiers. And if you think about it, Microsoft 365 is just the next tier, really, right? And I think one of the things that is preventing us from moving forward quickly in the PC space is just the complexity of the platform. And one of the things that Microsoft could do would be to ease that complexity through a software service, which they're already providing to businesses, but in a simplified form, that would basically be like PC management and security. You know, people have often thought about like Microsoft should combine their various consumer services, you know, and they were thinking at the time Groove Music Pass and, Xbox Live Gold and whatever. Maybe. But I think the thing that makes more sense in Microsoft's sphere is for them to do what they do best, which is that kind of thing, the kind of business side stuff. So the Office 365 is tremendously successful with individuals and families. Mm-hmm. What would put this thing over the top, you know? And I think this centralized management is part of it. It's not about charging Windows as a subscription, although you could argue that would be part of it, because I think part of this should be giving consumers access to Windows 10 Pro. By the way, when you do that, you get the ability to defer upgrades, which is the thing we were talking about earlier. And I think that's incredibly important for individuals to be able to do that kind of thing. And that could be part of the maintenance plan that you pick as an individual or as a family parent or whatever, the person overseeing a family. You could say, look, I don't want my kids getting the latest version of Windows 10 until it's been out for 3 months or 6 months or whatever time frame you specify, just like a business does. I think this is something Microsoft could do fairly easily. I think it'd be a great value.
Yeah, because they already have Microsoft 365 Business, which is for small business, and they get Enterprise. Yep. They've got Education, Microsoft 365 Education. They've got a version for nonprofits.
Right. So, my family's a nonprofit. I can tell you that. Yeah, in fact, I'm pretty sure it loses money every year.
I like your idea. I think I'm like, oh, you know, especially because of how much they're really playing up Microsoft 365 lately. Makes sense.
It gives them an interesting way to monetize an upgrade that they're probably not getting too much these days, right? So a lot of PC makers will pay less to get Windows 10 Home or Windows 10 S even on a PC. This might make that help make sense, right? I don't think that upgrading to Windows 10 Pro is kind of on anyone's plate these days exactly when they buy a new HP PC or whatever. But if they could get Pro and those defer rights and whatever other features Pro might give you as part of a subscription.
How about Outlook Premium? Throw that in there.
that would be part of it. It's already, it is part of it, right? They changed that. Yeah. So yeah, all the other good stuff that's in Office 365. I think it starts to make sense. And I think the pricing on Office 365 today is good. They can't go crazy when they add to this. But if you went to, from $100 to $125 or whatever for home for Microsoft, whatever you want to call it, Microsoft 365 Home or whatever, I think that makes tons of sense. And it gives Microsoft that upgrade fee as well, frankly. I mean, I think it's not a horrible thing.
Yeah, remember there was talk like a year ago about the whole family hub and home hub stuff. in Windows, and that never materialized, right? But that's maybe right. Yeah. If they did a bundle like this, like Microsoft 365 Home, that could be part of it. And that's where you get your family management stuff back into the product in a better way, right?
Just a dashboard where you could say, look, I'm not your guinea pig, but I'm going to pick. It could be simple. Yep. You know, this is what I want. And for all the people that are assigned to the family, the MSAs or whatever, this turns what I think is kind of a terrible policy into what I think is also kind of a nice benefit now. For, you know, as long as it's reasonable.
Yep. I liked it. I like that prediction. I think that was one of your better ones. I know. I've been fighting a cold because the weather has just been horrendous.
Oh, it's been balmy here. Has it been bad in New York?
Yeah.
Thank God I moved south. It snowed 4 times in December.
You got more snow than we got. Way more.
I lived in New England most of my life. I don't believe it ever snowed 4 times in December. It snowed like 18 times in February. But I mean, like December is usually very light.
Yep.
I'm going to have to keep going south.
You go back to Arizona.
That's who's a little less south. Yeah, we'll see.
I'll give one more of mine that I think is going to be interesting to people because we haven't really talked about Azure. And it's hard to make predictions for Azure because Microsoft's been adding lots and lots of services to Azure. And it's hard to kind of stay one step ahead and figure out what they're going to do next. But one that I do think they're going to do this calendar year is make more advanced capabilities that would previously only be available to giant-sized customers available to more people. So one of those is field programmable gate arrays, FPGAs. They've already hinted that they're going to make this available to people to use as a service on Azure. So if you have some kind of a workload as a company that you're like, wow, you know what? I could really use field programmable gate arrays and custom silicon to make my workload really sing on this thing, but I can't afford it. I think they're going to let you as a business customer, rent FPGA access in Azure in 2018. So I think that's going to be something to watch. It's something Amazon already does. I'm sure Google's already thinking or doing this too in their cloud. So I think that's going to be a big deal for Azure this year. That's one Azure prediction. Had to throw one in there for Azure.
I don't see a consumer use for this particular technology in 2018.
Really?
But
what else?
I think that's most of it. Mary Jo had something about the AI washing of everything and anything.
Yeah. Hearing that, right?
No, I mean, I think this is a kind of a double-edged sword because I think what you're implying here is that they're almost rebranding things to kind of push what we're now going to call AI and ML and so forth. And I think that's true. But on the other hand, I think that Microsoft is somewhat uniquely positioned, and Google is too, and a few other companies to a lesser degree, to actually benefit from artificial intelligence and benefit their customers from it as well. So part of it is just marketing language change. We're always amused when, you know, the same thing is now referred to as something else. But it is fair to say that Microsoft does have a unique advantage here, and they should push this stuff. You know,
agree.
We wouldn't have called spell checking AI back in 1999, but you know, I mean, realistically speaking, in some ways, it sort of was.
I just feel like and they're not the only ones who do it. Obviously, I mean, IBM does this, Oracle, everybody calls everything AI now, and it's kind of hard to pin people down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they'll say, we're adding this feature.
Cloud computing.
Right. Here's a new feature for Outlook.com. By the way, it's AI powered. And then you have to go to them and say, okay, but like, can you explain why that's AI powered? Right.
I think it was Larry Ellison who questioned cloud computing. He said, let me get this straight. Is there a client in this equation?
Right.
He was like, yeah. Is there a server?
Yeah.
So why is this not called client server computing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the server is located in the waveform.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but you know, Cortana is something they obviously do call AI, and everybody calls their digital assistants AIs. And I was trying to think of a prediction for Cortana to add to this list, and I could not think of what to predict. Part of me is very pessimistic about this because they're so far behind in the number of skills available, that their whole partnership with Amazon that was announced to a lot of fanfare last year hasn't yet yielded any kind of cross collaboration between Cortana and Alexa. So I don't know. I wouldn't go so far as to predict they're going to do away with Cortana. I don't think they will, but maybe kind of reposition Cortana or do something to try to get that thing going, because it's lagging.
They just need one more smart speaker.
Yeah, well, just one more. There's two now, just right? Two Cortana-powered smart
speakers. I'd be more invested in this conversation, but my dog just buried her head in my crotch for some reason.
And let me ask Cortana about that.
At least he's not biting.
The last Daily Peanuts comic was published. After 50 years of syndication and more than 17,000 strips.
Looks just like a cocktail shaker.
Have you read that new book on anti-gravity? It's hard to put down.
Okay, thank you, Cortana. Your problem is obvious. What else? What else? Anything else, or should we move along to today?
I think that's
world.
Most of it. I mean, I mentioned it's almost just a reminder, really, more than a prediction. Outlook.com is in a really nice looking beta right now, but only if you're on the email part of the service. Calendar and people have not been updated. I kind of expected that to happen before the end of next year, but since it didn't, I'll go out on a limb and suggest that it will now happen sometime in the next 12 months.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Nostradamus.
He's predicting.
And VRMR for Xbox. You didn't mention that
yes.
one.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a certainty. Remember, I think we have the story for later, but they do we have the story for later? Yes. Well, anyway, Microsoft kind of formally killed the Kinect this week. And as part of their statement about that, they mentioned that, you know, they would look to continue making peripherals for this hardware that people are actually looking to use, right? Which sounds like an obvious statement, but I also think it's a little bit of a hint that they're looking, you know, for new stuff. And it's, again, not a Nostradamus-level prediction, but it makes sense that the Windows virtual reality headsets would be the ones that should work on the Xbox, right? That instead of making their own headset, Microsoft should just take what's already there and you know, allow these companies to compete with each other and provide low prices. So I would expect and hope that any existing Windows virtual or Windows mixed reality headset would work with the Xbox One. Microsoft not said that, but it makes sense to me.
All right, Windows 10. Let's talk about Windows 10. It's a Windows 10 world. You're going to finally catch up with Windows 7. What an exciting day this must be for the Windows 10 team. Actually, usage for the Fall Creators Update's getting up there, right? That came out, when did that come out? 2 months ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so every month AdDuplex supplies usage data based on Windows Store usage, et cetera, et cetera. And so they've been charting this release versus previous releases. And surprisingly, it's not actually the fastest release, but it's up there. And I think the exact figure was maybe 52 or 53%. But going over 50% in only 2 months to me is actually kind of amazing. Like we said earlier, Microsoft released two major updates to Windows 10 in 2017. The original Creators Update rolled out relatively slowly, but was very successful as far as reliability of the update. This one is going out very quickly, but also very successful from a reliability standpoint. You don't hear a lot of complaints from people about there being problems. In fact, I basically don't hear any. And I feel like I'm, you know, the guy on the front line, and you are too, obviously, when it comes to this kind of stuff.
I hear a few. Not a lot, though. I mean, you know, and whenever we say this, now we're suddenly watch your Twitter stream, because everybody who has a problem is going to start tweeting to us. But there nothing like before is what we're trying to say.
Mary Jo is the one who wants to hear on this stuff. So
right. I think send it to at Therot.
I can spell that if you'd like.
Your prayers will be answered. No, we're just, you know, we are not saying there are no problems. Let's be clear. No. We hear from people who say things like, it installed and now I can't even access my start menu. We do hear these, right? We know it's not perfect, but compared to what it was just a couple versions of Windows 10 ago, it's a lot better.
A year ago, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
That release, the anniversary update was terrible. Mm. It was terrible.
That was bad.
So yeah,
they're getting that together. Yeah, they're getting it together. That's good. We'll see how the next one is, though, because this version coming up, if they actually do get timeline and maybe even sets this version, there's a lot of stuff in this coming version. I feel like even more than the last one. So once you start really messing around with that kind of deeper level stuff, it makes me say, okay, let's see how they do when they install on older hardware, right?
I do feel like they're hitting more of the core usage in this release, meaning like the basic multitasking features and so forth. And I think that's great. I mean, I think it's overdue. And I would also point to things that, well, I just did, the networking interface, but just File Explorer as a whole. I mean, that's a real legacy UI that I don't feel like Microsoft has touched in an important way in 20 years.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. I mean, it's been a while. And I think that needs an overhaul as well. But anyway, it's nice to see them doing some stuff that isn't fanciful. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more down-to-earth features. Like we keep saying, like productivity features.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, though, can I ask you a question, Paul? This is Ask Paul now. Okay.
Already?
Because I was thinking about this. If you look at the life cycle chart for Windows 10 right now and you see how quickly things are no longer supported, like, you know, before it was like 10 years for Windows 7 not to be supported.
Right.
With all these current revs, it's not that long. Like the next one, it's 1607 is no longer going to be supported as of February or March this year, right?
Right.
I hear from people who can't get later versions. Like they just never show up on their PCs.
Yep.
And then I'm like, okay, what happens to these people when this happens? You know, Microsoft did give a small extension for Atom processor machines, I believe, with one of the previous ones. But like as we rev more and more quickly, people who haven't thought about buying a new PC every 3 years, 2-3 years, are going to start seeing machines that don't get the update, right? And I feel like it's going to make your PC obsolete quicker. Or you'll just take a chance and not run a supported build of the operating system.
I don't see this as a conspiracy theory.
No, but it is a real issue.
But it is a real issue. And I it's not like a dastardly plot, you know, something like that. But remember going back to January 2015, maybe whenever it was, when they first announced this and the Windows 10 upgrade, remember, was going to be free for both PCs and phones. And and that was when Terry Myerson introduced the phrase for the lifetime of the device.
Yep.
And we all sort of looked at each other like, well, what does that mean? You know, and I don't think we still completely understand what that means, but I'll just take a stab on it because it's based on what you just said, which is there is some point where they stop supporting older chipsets within the confines of Windows 10. So obviously on newer chipsets, they're also not supporting older. I'm sorry. Yes, with newer chipsets, they're not supporting older versions. Windows now, there's a new thing too.
Right.
But the flip side of that is with, it doesn't matter what the age of the chipset is, certain chipsets, they're also going to stop supporting those within the Windows 10 timeframe. So now you're not supported. There may be chipsets that were never supported on Windows 7 that will eventually be phased out for Windows 10. So now what? And I think that's what you're asking.
Right.
And so I think it's going to vary. I think there are going to be some extreme examples, like you mentioned the Atom thing, where they'll have to make an exception. I don't think it's entirely clear if you don't qualify for an upgrade to a new feature update. Does that also mean you stop getting bug fixes?
Right.
Like the monthly security updates? I think eventually it does mean that. I do too, but I don't think it's immediate. I really feel like this stuff is almost being made up as we go forward. And it is tied into what I said earlier about Windows as a service on the business side, where they're going to bump into the realities of their customers' needs and have to make changes. And I think they're going to be doing that across the board on one-offs as these things happen. I suppose the theory is that if you have a Skylake or newer chipset, let's say, you should be good to go for something approximating that 10-year time frame. But I don't think there's any guarantee it's going to be 10 years anymore, for sure. Certainly not for individuals.
Okay, this just in. Intel just posted in the newsroom. Did you see it?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Intel responds to security research findings just went in the newsroom, it looks like.
All right, what do we got? Read it to us, Mary Jo.
Recent reports that exploits caused by a bug or flaw are unique to Intel are incorrect.
Love it.
And they are citing their work with ARM, AMD Holdings, and other operating systems vendors. But they're saying they are going to fix it. It's like...
Yep.
Just, it's very vague.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's intentionally vague because they don't, I think, want to give away any...
they don't want to say what it is. Like in a way that people can exploit it, right? Yeah.
So they don't mention performance at all.
Intel and other vendors had planned to disclose this issue next week when more software and firmware updates will be available. However, Intel is making the statement today because of current inaccurate media reports.
By the way,
they mention AMD and ARM Holdings. I mean, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
But the language they use specifically, look up the word performance. Contrary to some reports, any performance impacts are workload dependent and for the average computer user should not be significant and will be mitigated over time. Huh. Language is very similar to what I had just heard somewhere, and I'm wondering if someone had not caught wind of this early.
Mm.
You know, that the impact will be not significant for individuals.
Hmm.
Yeah, inaccurate media reports.
Sure.
Yeah, they say. Huh. Workload dependent. Well, but of course they're workload dependent. If you're not doing anything, you won't notice any performance impact.
I know. My computer's awesome when I don't go near it.
And I wonder how they plan to mitigate it over time by getting a new processor.
Right. Yeah, they mitigate it over time by replacing your PC with a new one.
Yeah, that'll be fixed. That'll fix it. Yeah.
Sure.
Well.
That was like the review I heard. Someone wrote a review of Destiny 2, and they said it fixed every single problem in the original game. And I said, that's great. Do I get it for free because I have the original game, or does it actually require me to pay for a new game?
Right. You
know,
right.
I'm glad they fixed it, but do I get it?
Yeah. Right.
You can finally get a Surface Pro with LTE. I like that.
Yep.
And the deal there, by the way, is that when they announced this, it was specifically for businesses only, and you were going to get it through resellers. But Microsoft is now selling this product through the Microsoft Store online. That means anyone can go buy it.
Great.
So that means you as an individual could actually buy this now. Great. So I always expect that to happen. But
sure. Yeah.
Good to see it is happening.
And, you know, this was a year. We should have a little, music and a slow.
The way we were.
Yeah. Okay. We could, that can be arranged. And just memories of the things we left behind.
So if you were
misty,
to
watercolored memories of the Kinects,
assuming you're on the latest version of Windows 10, which if you're a home user you are, and you open the Microsoft Store, oh surprise, by the way, it's called the Microsoft Store now. It used to be called the Windows Store. Yep. You'll notice that the music entry is gone from the top of the menu because Microsoft is no longer selling music from its store and it is no longer offering a Music Pass subscription. This has relegated the Groove Music app on your PC to being something that can play your own music if you happen to have music ripped or purchased, or if you put it up in OneDrive. So it's not completely useless. It's only mostly useless.
And of course...
What is that? That's like a Halloween soundtrack. What is that?
It's time to say goodbye.
Oh, there it is.
To the Kinect.
Right, there it is. Yep. Does anyone have a camp?
I could do the... let me turn on my flashlight on my phone. I can wave it over my head here. The things we left behind in 2017, including the Microsoft Kinect, right? That's over.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as I was saying, I think on Twitter, you know, when... when Microsoft left the Kinect port off of the Xbox One S in August 2016, that might have been
kind of a
hint that was coming to a close.
Maybe that was.
Again, this goes back to that faux outrage stuff you see on Twitter all the time. Everyone's freaking out about this, right? If you needed this, you should have bought it already. And I'm pretty sure they stopped making these things about a year and a half ago. So they've basically just been sitting in warehouses unpurchased.
We should be able to get them cheap.
The thing is, actually, they're going at a great premium on places like eBay because they're not available anymore.
Right.
I happen to have two of these.
I like them. You should sell them.
So I'm going to retire.
Yeah, maybe. That's a couple $100 right in your pocket.
Well, the complexity is that unless you have the original Xbox One, you actually need this adapter. I'll call it a dongle, but what it really is like a hydra of cables that connects connect to your Xbox One S or X. And I think those adapters are very hard to find. I think Microsoft gave them away for free for a little while.
Yeah,
because everyone,
and then I bought it for $50.
Because
I forgot to get it in time. But the story here is that they're not going to make them anymore.
Right.
Yes.
Implying that they were still making them, which I find kind of hard to believe. They probably had a few in the warehouse.
I think there's a simpler solution to voice control than Kinect. I think that solution is called a microphone.
Yeah.
But whatever form it might take, it's weird to me that the Xbox One X, for example, came out without something like a little wire microphone off a USB port, something, you know, like just something you could stick up on the TV and a little piece of tape or something, and it would listen for your voice and you could talk to it. Because for all of the fun that the Kinect may or may not have been as kind of a gesture or motion based peripheral, I think it's the voice stuff that was really kind of great about it.
Yeah.
And you can talk to your Xbox if you have a newer controller and a compatible headset, which is most of them. But I want to be able to do it without a headset. Like, I just want it to be out in the room. And it's weird to me that Microsoft does not accommodate that.
Yes.
Too bad.
Misty water color.
Yep.
Of the way.
You got to wonder why, though. I mean, okay, Kinect wasn't a barn burner of a product. I mean, at the beginning, it was like one of their fastest selling products of all time. But then a lot of people figured out it didn't work as they wanted it to. It was, you know, you had needed a bigger room, blah, blah. But it feels like part of the experience that Microsoft is really pushing is using voice to control your Windows 10 devices, right?
I know.
So there's a hole there now, right?
Yep. It's crazy. There was always a hole there. The truth is, you know, when the Xbox One came out originally, they enforced the use of Kinect by bundling it with the console and not giving you the option not to get it. Mm-hmm. It made the console $100 more expensive than it had to be.
Yeah.
I think they understood that if they didn't do that, no one would have bought it. But I think a lot of people who bought it resented having to buy it. And, of course, they eventually got rid of it. And so the voice part is the important part that should be built in with the console. I don't get it. It's not.
And you can't use a speaker like the Harman Kardon with it, right?
No, but that would be an acceptable.
Like to control it? Yeah.
Sure. That would be great.
Feels like there was some potential there. For one brief shining moment, maybe I should have played Camelot instead. It was the fastest selling consumer electronics device of all time.
It was, right.
It was. And then 2 months went by and it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a brief shining moment. Abe is telling me in the chat room that you can get a Kinect adapter on Amazon for $189 used.
Jeez.
So your two Kinects, they got to be worth some big bucks.
That's what I'm thinking, baby.
Yeah. You got to take that one all the way to the bank.
Summer home, here I come.
Yeah, baby. Well, unless you have other things you wish to talk about, I think we should take a break and come back with our back of the book. You agree?
Okay.
Sure. I agree.
All right. Our show today brought to you by those nice, nice folks at Quicken Loans, the best lender in the country. Number one in our hearts, number one in the J.D. Power Customer Satisfaction Award, more to the point, for 2017, 2016, 2015, 2014, 2015, for 8 years. I could go on. For mortgage approval and the mortgage origination process, number one in customer satisfaction for mortgage servicing. I mean, they really are the best. And they have gotten even better by creating a product they call Rocket Mortgage from Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage, the whole point is you can apply simply online. No need to make a trip to a lender. No need to go up to the attic or the basement to find paperwork. No need to call the bank for your pay stubs and your check statements. Everything you have in your head is all you need. So you apply simply by just giving them some basic information. They have trusted partners with all the financial institutions. They can get whatever else they need. Based on your income, assets, and credits, they'll analyze all the home loan options that are right for you. Say, what do you want for a down payment? What do you want for a – choose your rate, choose your term. You'll understand every point of the way. You'll understand it fully. Then you find the one you like. Bada-bing, bada-boom. You press the button. And you can mortgage with confidence. In fact, you can do the whole thing in just a couple of minutes on your phone, on your desktop, on your tablet, while you're at an open house, while you're in the car. You can literally get this done in minutes and have that big button that says you're approved. There's another one that says download the approval letter to hand to your realtor. I mean, it is just what you're looking for. The best way to get the best rate on a new home loan or a refi. We had somebody in the studio the other day. A viewer who said, yeah, I did Rocket Mortgage and I got a really good rate on my refi. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030. Go to rocketmortgage.com/windows. That's the address. Maybe you're not buying today. You know, you're listening to Windows Weekly. But go there and start the process. Get set up. And then when you want to apply, you can do that even more quickly, right? rocketmortgage.com/windows. At least bookmark it. Because so, I know you'll say in a couple of weeks, what was that thing Leo was talking about? It was rocketmortgage.com/windows from Quicken Loans. And we thank Quicken Loans for their support of the Windows Weekly program. Mary Jo Foley, Paul Thurrott. And a back of the book time. I missed it. Let's start with a tip of the week from Paul Thurrott.
I was just enjoying the animated GIFs that I now get as responses to my tweets. Which are
yeah, that's on some keyboards, you know. It's
that's good.
It's easy.
So in celebration of the Intel bug, we are having a sale on the Windows 10 field guide.
Oh,
so,
nice. Very thoughtful.
50% off until Patch Tuesday. That means you could get the book for as little as $5.
That's awesome.
We have various URLs. It's kind of complicated on LeanPub to find this, but if you go to like bit.ly, so bit.ly/IntelBugBookSale.
Wait a minute, let me correct you. Bit.ly.
Yep. What did I say?
L-I, and if they go there, they're going to be disappointed.
I meant L-Y. I have a Boston accent, sorry.
L-I.
Yeah. That was Australian for some reason. slash Intel Bug Book Sale.
Okay.
Also slash 50% slower. Also slash slow PC book sale, because apparently
slow. What's slow about it?
The PC is slow because you have an Intel chip.
Oh, you actually did bit.ly slow PC sale?
Yeah. Slow PC book sale, yes.
bit.ly/slow PC book sale. Book sale. I love it. Anyway, that'll take you to leanpub.com and you can get the field guide. Windows 10, and it 50% off. There is no reason for you not to have this on your bookshelf right now. I do.
So technically, we have two ads today. So
ad for your thing.
Yes. Also, because it is the beginning of the year, beginning of a month, I should say, just the general reminder that we will have four free new games, two of which are now available. One of them is, I believe, the first game that has been enhanced for Xbox One X. Excuse me. It's called The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3.
Ooh.
And what is the – oh, the other one is Tomb Raider Underworld. That's the Xbox 360 title. Actually, I did download that one. I should remember that. So this looks like another good month, but we've got our four new games coming up, two of which are available today. I've been writing a little bit lately, and people have been asking me about the tools I use. I'm doing everything I can to become as sophisticated as Mary Jo is from a tools perspective. I'm not quite ready to go full-blown notepad, but I'm getting close. I write in Markdown now, which is text-based,
really?
Obviously.
Oh, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I've been doing that for a while. I've been using something called Markdown Pad 2. which is not supported anymore and is kind of complex to use on Windows 10 because it requires a special version of a developer library, blah, 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 whatever. Anyway, there's a great application out there called Write, which is Write with an exclamation point, and you can find it at writeapp.co. It's normally about $20 or $21 to buy for lifetime use. It's on sale now. It's part of a holiday sale. It's half price now. I like it quite a bit. It's not quite as good as Markdown Pad, but I feel like they might actually get it there. And I think for a lot of people, it's a good choice. You know, one of the things that I found, because I spend a lot of time looking and researching these kinds of tools, is that there are a lot of distraction-free text editors and word processors and things like that on the Mac side, as well as on iOS and even on Android. And there aren't that many on Windows. But this is a good one, and I think it's kind of right up there with some of the better distraction-free type editors. And so it's not, again, it's not quite it's not quite Notepad. It supports rich text if you want to use that. It supports full-up Markdown. It's not a side-by-side editor. The Markdown editor that I use has code on one side and then the formatted text on the other. This one, if you write the code, it just transitions it into the formatted text, or you can just, you know, use standard word processing shortcuts, whatever. Anyway, something to check out.
Nice.
The other pick is there's an app called Kodi, which has been around for a long time and it's gone through various permutations.
K-O-D-I.
That's now K-O-D-I, that's right, which is now available on the Xbox One. And the reason this is notable is that this app started off as something, I think it was called the Xbox Media Player for Windows.
Center.
And then it became the Xbox Media Center.
Center, XBMC.
Eventually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then it over time it became Kodi. And it's one of those kind of media player hub type applications. You can put it on a Windows PC where all your content is. You can put it up on the big screen if you, you know, it supports different devices and so forth. So it's coming full circle because they're bringing it to Xbox One X. And they're doing it with the desktop bridge tool, which is called what? The desktop. I just lost my mind. The Centennial desktop
app converter?
Just desktop bridge. Just bridge or whatever.
Desktop bridge.
Desktop bridge. and it's interesting because the guys who created this looked at desktop bridge and thought there was no way this would ever work for them, especially on an Xbox, because the code was too complex. But I guess a developer showed them how this could in fact work fine, and they're doing it. And so right now it just supports personal videos and music, but they're going to make the full Kodi thing available over time on Xbox One. And if you want to check it out today, there is an early version, and I think this might appeal to certain enthusiasts, so you might want to check that out. It looks pretty cool. I don't use it personally, but this is kind of neat that they're doing this.
Nice. Thank you, Paul, for your fabulous picks of the week. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mary Jo Foley with her Enterprise pick of the week.
The Enterprise pick of the week has to do with Microsoft's first acquisition of 2018, which just happened today.
Wow.
They bought a company called Avere, A-V-E-R-E, Systems, that's based in Pittsburgh. Avere makes file system and caching technology that is aimed to speed up compute and storage in hybrid cloud environments. So there aren't a lot of details what Microsoft's going to do with their technology. There's just this kind of vague statement that Avere's technology will be tightly integrated with Azure, which is what you would expect. Some people have asked me, will it be in Windows Server also? I don't know, but I would think so because the NFS and SMB file storage technologies they have work with Windows and Linux clients, not just in the cloud, but also in hybrid and on-premises scenarios. So yeah, they bought them. We don't know how much they paid, but that's their first acquisition. And I would think it wouldn't be too far away as to when customers will start to see this sold as an Azure service, at least in preview. So that's the Enterprise pick.
Interesting. And a code name for us?
So we're going back to Andromeda with the code name here. So Andromeda itself is a code name, but then there is another code name that's connected with it, which is a number, 882-8080. If you put a 425 in front of that, that's Microsoft's phone number, by the way.
Oh, that's hysterical. Only you would know that. That's hysterical.
I've dialed that number many a time in my day.
That's so funny.
But why it's the pick this week is there are apps starting to show up in the Microsoft Store that say available on PC, mobile, HoloLens, Hub, and 882-8080. So we think that is a reference to Andromeda, the hardware. But in theory, at least, it could be in reference to the Andromeda operating system, which is something that Microsoft's building as an under-the-covers kind of technology that'll let OEMs pick and choose modules. Sorry, I'm also losing my voice. Pick and choose modules that they could assemble to create new kinds of applications. So there will never be a thing that comes to market called the Andromeda OS, but the Andromeda OS is going to be what powers the Windows 10 platform over time. It's going to take that whole idea of one core and advance it. But I do think this reference that's showing up in the store has to do with the hardware. And it's interesting it's showing up already in some select apps in the Microsoft Store. Hmm. But that's, if you see 882-8080, that's, we think it's Andromeda. We think that's what that is.
Isn't that funny that that's their phone number? What a funny joke.
I know. Yep.
That's great. And let's tipple some beer. First beer of the new year.
Yes. So the first beer of the new year is what people in the beer world call a whale. Really hard to get. A beer that everybody wants. It's from Founders. It's called Canadian Breakfast Stout.
Not affiliated with CBS.
Not just for breakfast anymore.
CBS. CBS. This is a beer that is part of Founders Backstage series. They only brew it a few times. They've only brewed it.
I want this. It's reading the description. First of all, it's got a Mountie on the label.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It has a Canadian Mountie on the label.
Yeah, but then read the description. I mean, wow.
This is an Imperial Stout brewed with a blend of coffees and imported chocolates. Aged in spent bourbon barrels that have most recently been used for aging pure Michigan maple syrup.
Oh, my goodness. I want.
Yep. It's as good as that sounds. I've gotten to have a few vintages of this, and the 2017 is worth the money, people. So if you see it, it's for sale in bottles, like in Whole Foods. It's around.
Really?
Buy one.
But this
it's
is
delicious.
Old beer. They haven't bottled it since 2011.
No, there is a 2017 that came out around Thanksgiving.
So don't buy the 2011 bottle. Nope.
Well, it might be good.
You never know.
Maybe.
You never know. It could be good.
Yeah, but the 2017 is excellent. So if you see a bottle in a store, pick it up.
CBS.
CBS.
From Founders Brewing Company. It is what's for breakfast. That's Mary Jo Foley. I don't know what she has for breakfast, but I know what Sriracha has for breakfast. Mary Jo Foley.
Yeah, he did a nice number on my hand today.
You know, the problem is we took a week off and not used to you not being there 100%.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
No, he saw me start to take out my equipment and set it up, and he just lifted eyebrow.
Not happening. Hmm.
No. Yeah. You'll find Mary Jo when she's not getting bit by her cat at allaboutmicrosoft.com, her ZDNet blog. You'll find Paul Thurrott at his blog, Thurrott.com. Calling it a blog seems at his major
dog
publication.
Dogofthecrotch.com.
Wow. Quick, register that fast. THUROTT.com. And, of course, leanpub.com for his books. And don't forget the 50% off sale, bit.ly/... I don't remember now.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Neither does Paul.
Oh, I put the wrong thing. Hold on. I got it. Oh, jeez. PC. Where is it? I lost it.
I'll find it. It's on your website. Well, you know what? Yeah, you're right.
Hold on. I can get this. Hold on. I have it.
It's a good deal, though. I love this.
Bit.ly.intel bug book sale.
Intel bug
50%
book sale.
Slower. Or a slow PC book sale.
Good price. Really good price.
Yep. It's worth every penny, Leo.
I like the sliders where you pay a certain amount and can I make the authors earn more? See, I can't make my price. Oh, I see. That's their
It goes down to, I assume it stops at $4.99. Maybe
you can actually give the authors $30.
Sure.
Why not?
That's roughly what we've made in the book over time. So that's good. That would be good. That would be a good thing.
Suggested price $14.99. It's well worth it. Well worth it. And you can get it as an ebook. Mm-hmm. And get the printable reference poster. That is gorgeous.
Yeah, actually, I haven't sent this out, but people who own the book already, yeah, they should grab the posters again because we just added the Surface Studio poster.
For $5 more, you get the reference poster, the Surface Pro 3, Surface Pro 4, and Surface Studio poster. I got to get the Surface Studio poster. That's awesome.
That's really cool. Yeah, Martin makes beautiful posters.
Oh, they're great. So, folks, here's your opportunity. Just go to that address, which you've memorized. We'll put it in the show notes.
Yes.
Just go to the website, twit.tv/WW, click the link. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. Happy New Year. And I'm glad to be back in the saddle. We'll be back here Wednesday, next Wednesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 1900 UTC. If you want to stop by, we'd love that. You can watch it happen live at twit.tv.
Paul's going to be at CES, aren't you?
Are you going to do it from CES?
Yeah. Yeah, I will.
Nice.
Crazy, man.
Nice. We'll feel bad for you as we watch you suffering in Las Vegas.
No, I kind of wish I haven't been in years now. I kind of wish I could go.
Do you really?
Yeah. I wish you could go too instead of me, but.
It's been a long time. Maybe I've just, you know, it's like having a baby. You just forget after a while the pain and the suffering involved.
Yeah. It looks so cute from far away. Let's have another one.
Yeah. Anyway, from CES, we'll have Paul Theroux on the horn. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Mary Jo. If you want to get this show on demand, you can also do that, twit.tv/WW, or look in your podcast program, you know, your client, and you can subscribe, and that way you'll get it every week. We also invite you to come by and visit us in the studio, but we do ask not that you just drop in, but that you, in fact, prepare us for your arrival by emailing tickets@twit.tv.
You're less also, do not show up at that location if they've just moved. Very important.
Actually, you know, there's this new thing. I really am intrigued by it. Called it's a three your address in three words. Have you seen this?
No, that's awesome.
So instead of giving an address or coordinates, this company has basically mapped the entire globe into 3 meter by 3 meter chunks. It's and each one has a three word. So if you're using the three words for twit, it's glow.walnut.nasal.
Okay.
Just remember glow, walnut, nasal. The new Mercedes are going to work with this. So you say, Mercedes, drive me to glow, walnut, nasal, and it'll take you right there.
Oh, that's amazing.
I'm getting a sign printed.
Yeah.
Glow, walnut, nasal. Thank you, everybody. Good. I think we just came up with the title for the show.
I think
we'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye, everybody.